For iMedia Connection, I'm Ryan McNamara. On this edition of the iMedia Podcast is a session from iMedia's Fall Agency Summit. Featured today is a session entitled Gender-Specific Marketing Discoveries with Joseph Grass. But first,
Dow Jones Online is proud to support iMedia. Led by the Wall Street Journal Online and MarketWatch, Dow Jones Online is the web's premier publisher of business news and financial information. Learn more at DowJonesOnline.com.
Hi, everybody. My name is Brad Behrens. I'm the editor-in-chief here at iMedia. Please forgive the microphone in this otherwise intimate environment. We are recording this session, and so when people are talking, I will either be scampering over to you and thrusting a microphone into your hands and asking you to repeat the question, or our speaker, Joseph Carabas, will be repeating the question. That's so that the folks at home or the folks who will be eventually listening to this on the subway on their iPods can understand what's being asked. These sessions are here to be working group sessions. We're going to have a short presentation about what's going on, and then ideally y'all are going to join us and be trying to apply the stuff that Joseph Carabas is talking about to your own situations, asking questions. Joseph has been... the great thing about the internet, to just completely go derail myself for one moment, is that you can, if you're an agency, you can pretest your creative using an ad network in order to find out what works well. You can test all sorts of things. You can also pretest friendships. I have been delighted to count Joseph as a friend for the last 2 years, although I only met him 2 days ago face-to-face for the first time. We've had endless phone calls. He's written, I think, 100 columns for us. They're among our most highly rated columns at iMedia. We never know where to place his columns. Sometimes they go in websites, sometimes they go in creative best practices, sometimes in word of mouth. The interesting thing about the phrase out of the box is that if you use the phrase out of the box, then you've obviously proven to people that you're in the box. Joseph is not in the box. He brings a unique perspective to the study and creation and of websites, how people navigate them. If you look at his bio, you'll find that he's been a truck driver, he's been a butcher, and a chief research officer with lots of other things in between. As a butcher, he knows how to take things apart. As a truck driver, he understands how to navigate a long journey. And as a researcher, he understands how to deep dive into things and find out how people think about them. He's going to share today with us some of his research onto gender preference in web navigation and therefore how it should impact design. If you can please join me in welcoming from next stage, Joseph Carabas.
Hello, everybody. Can you all hear me? Good. I'm not going to immediately jump into that because one of the things I do, in case nobody has figured it out, I'm an ex-academic who can't speak well. I'm an ex-academic, and I must be very honest with you. It's the only way I know how to be, actually. I'm nervous. I don't present to audiences like this too often. I usually have a bunch of scholars in the room who just want to rip me apart because my research doesn't back up their findings. So how many of you are into sociocultural chromatography? Okay, we're good. We're good. No one's going to rip that apart. I'm happy now. My wife and several other people who I've talked with recently said, Joseph, be yourself. And that relaxes me considerably. So I'm going to start by being a cultural anthropologist with you. Do you know that the way you're all placed yourselves in this room tells me so much about you? An amazing amount of information. For example, why are the men sitting pretty much separately, or maybe in clusters of two? Why do the women group together? Anybody doing social dynamics? Anybody doing social network studies? My God, look at this room. And if you can look at this room and see how people have placed themselves in this room, you know how to design a website. You know how to speak to the different genders immediately. Because women tend, not all, but tend to be together. Women like to get together and talk. And it's not a negative thing. Nothing that I will say today is an evaluation. Nothing is, well, men do it this way, and women do it that way. No, I could care less, actually. Because to me, you're all just data points. You know, hey, you know, what can I tell you? That said, let us begin. Okay. Let's see if I can do this. Oh, hey, good. We did it already. There you go. That's me. That's what I do. Those are my companies. Next slide. Why am I here? Ask Brad. Well, there you go. I do have everything written out. The reason I do is people who work for me and clients know that if they ask me a question, I'm gone for days. I will answer that question really intensely. So if I don't have notes that I actually read and follow, you're all going to go, what is he talking about now? You may say that anyway, but I do want to say that I'm not an expert. I do not consider myself an expert in anything. I'm an explorer, okay? To me, there's a great deal of difference. I don't know the truth, okay? I know how to find things that point to the truth. A lot of difference. I'm going to give suggestions. I'm going to make stories about how things should be done, okay? You need to decide if what I tell you is useful to you. Because I'm going to be talking in huge generalities. You people have unique problems. The thing is, you need to fit these huge generalities to what you do. And that's easy to do, and we'll be talking about that too. And if I forget to talk about it, say, Joseph, go back to your notes, or simply ask. What we'll cover. Gender-specific motivational factors. Gender-neutral motivational factors. You can read this just as well as I can. Why am I doing that? Because that's what you do with a PowerPoint, right? All of this stuff is based on research that either we have done, we did and revisited recently. The which colors attract different age groups, that's actually a study we just completed. We're publishing a paper on it real soon, he said. But why is the secret to marketing designed to have someone else's experience? This is a very key thing. I'm guessing all of you people design websites, design marketing material, promotional material, right? Do you all also know that what you must do is not put your experience into the material, you must put someone else's experience into the material, right? For example, I am not going to design a good website for 19 to 24-year-old women. Last time I checked, I was not a 19 to 24-year-old woman. Never have been. I've got nothing against past life experiences, but I was not Cleopatra. Okay? So, and you're nodding. Yes, Joseph, you obviously were never Cleopatra. Thank you. I appreciate that. But you must have someone else's experience. First, gender motivational factors. Female motivational factors. What's a motivational factor? Class, what is a motivational factor? Someone raise their hand quickly or slowly, whatever. Yes?
Something that causes someone.
Brilliant. Yes, excellent. Okay. Gold star. Females as a group, as a cultural group. Not individuals, but as a group, extremely visually oriented. Okay? Use their own experience to gauge current events. Now, if you're not in my fields of research, you're saying, well, Joseph, this is obvious. You're right, it is obvious. But like most things that are obvious, somebody had to write a paper about it. Okay, we did. We'll remember past problems in order to avoid making them in the future. Will you be surprised that men don't do that? Yet, and here's the thing that I find so fascinating. Guys will bang their heads against the wall 50 times because the next time they do it, they'll get through. Right? Women will bang their head twice. The first time they'll go, ow, geez, that hurts. The second time, you're right, it does hurt. The third time they'll go, how can I get around that wall? It's very different. Very actually different. Favor explanations of how to get out of present or future trouble. Again, men don't do that? No, actually. As a gender, they don't. Women favor explanations. I want to talk with you about how to avoid that problem that person made. And isn't it fascinating that the women's eyes are locked on me and the men's eyes aren't? Believe it or not, that is a sociocultural cue that the women are going, uh-huh, and the men are going, what is he talking about? When Brad actually asked me to come by and talk about the differences between the genders, I talked to them on the phone. I said, what, people don't know the difference between men and women? Does everyone here know the difference between men and women? No hands are going up. I'm very worried. Are more often influenced by the example of others rather than their own experience. A man has a problem. What does he do? Do men ask directions when they're lost? Oh, thank you. Somebody answered. Get that GPS going, okay? Do women want to know what other people's experience is? Bingo. Okay. Are influenced by consensus but not locked to it. Now, this is a critical element. Okay. Women will talk to each other. Men will posture with each other. Isn't that right? Okay. You ever get a group of men together? You ever notice how very, very rarely a man will walk directly up to another male and just face on to him? But women will. Women will face each other and talk. And as a matter of fact, what women will do when they talk is lean forward enough to show recognition and acceptance. Men, whenever they can, want to look a little bit down at the other males. Why? Because anthropologically, we're wired that way. Okay? Do you all know that really well-trained psychotherapists will always endeavor to get at the same eye level as the person they're talking with? Will it be a shock to any of you to know that I used to be a psychotherapist? And there were times when I would be on my knees. But anyway. Okay, not locked to it. Another key element. How come they're not locked to it? Because women will make up their own minds. They will talk. They will research. They will discover. They will find out. And once they have done that, they'll take all the information in and go, well, you know, that might not work for me. Guys, on the other hand, are like, well, Tim did it, and Bob did it, and John did it, so I guess I'll do it too. The heck with the fact that it failed for all of them, for me. That 51st time I bang my head against the wall, it's going to work. Male motivation factors. I have to let you know that my staff, this is the third incarnation of this presentation. My incarnation, my staff looked at and said, no, Joseph, this isn't the Baden-Baden conference on psycho-emotive cueing. This is a business presentation. I said, what's the difference? This actually used to say, tend to become emotional during conversations. Well, men will tell you that they're not emotional. But to people versed in my areas of study, emotional doesn't mean, what do you mean by that? Emotional means, well, you know. So men will become demonstrative during conversations. They will make big movements to convey big ideas. And this doesn't mean that you're Italian, which I am, so I can say things like that. Okay? It means that men, as a group, tend to want to let you know things. Okay? They want to get it out there. They want you to understand. Okay? And everything that I'm doing now is a demonstration of that. As opposed to, how many times do you see women going, well, you know, I was thinking just the other day. And I can break into Italian if you really want to hear it. But live in the day and have a positive outlook on life. The way I phrased that in another presentation was, hey, I'm good, I have a beer and the ball game's on, okay. All right. Decisions are based on positive influences. This is a good thing right now. This is not a good thing. Well, I'll stay away from it, but this is a good thing. So if it's a good thing, I'll stay here and I'm happy. And don't ask me to change, because why should I? But over here, well, this is not a good thing. You know, sometimes the professor in me can't help but come out. So bear with me for a second. I'll put it to all of you. I'll bet all of you are very comfortable with me right here, except for this gentleman, so let me back away a bit. This is a good thing. This is a good place for me, right? But right there is the wall. Right there, believe it or not, if you're trained in the disciplines that I've studied way too much, what is he doing? Why is he getting closer to us? Oh my God, he might call on us. Don't let him look at me. Oh, sweet Lord. If you ever get a chance to teach at any level, but especially at the college level, undergraduates, those people who barely know how to breathe and walk, the best thing you can do is blah 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 blah. And this person is dying. I didn't read the book. I didn't do the example. I didn't do the homework. Dear God, get him away from me. It was great. You can get the rotten students and just murder them that way. I, of course, never had rotten students. They had rotten teachers. Can be influenced by images of problem situations which directly affect them. That sentence, that phrase is actually telling you a lot. Can be influenced. Okay? So whatever they see, it's an image, whatever they see goes in. And it's rationalized. Rationalization is an important factor. Because they don't believe it. They go, well, let's see. Joseph's doing this, but Joseph's wearing a 3 or 4 color shirt. So maybe it won't happen for me because I'm not wearing a 3 or 4 color shirt. Men will make excuses. I didn't mean to do it. Bobby did it. I didn't do it. So influenced by images of problem situations which would directly affect them. Well, that happened over there. It doesn't have anything to do with me. This looks a lot like what I'm doing. This image of how to lift a car up with a 3 1/4 ton jack and have it not fall on your head, that looks a lot like what I'm doing, especially if it's a Chevy Suburban. So I'll pay attention to this so I don't get hurt. But this image over here of the guy walking down the street all by himself, I've never had to do that. I've always had people flocking around me, so I'm not going to pay attention to that. Don't rely on future rewards. Men, are you shocked to find that you don't rely on future rewards? Women, are you shocked to find out that men don't rely on future rewards? Women are laughing, guys. Guess what is a real big influencer on how purchase decisions are made? Any kind of decisions are made by the genders. Men, I want it now. Give it to me now. Now, do you hear? Now. Ah! Near future. Near future is a psychological concept. To some people, near future is 2 to 3 days. To some people, near future is about a week. Okay? In my fields of research, now is basically a 48-hour time period from here. Now, believe it or not, now extends into the past because that's recent memory. Okay? I could have used that. Men will go to the store to buy the one tool which will help them. Okay? And then they'll go back to the store 10 minutes later to buy the other tool which will help them. Okay? So, men, give it to me now. Near future. Yeah, probably use that. Yeah, be good. Far future. Why are you troubling me with this? Why are you talking to me about 6 months from now? 7 months from now? Okay? Women. Yes, I could use that now. That would make a good thing. But what can I do with it later on? Is it going to be useful to me? Is it going to continue to provide good service? Will it make sense? Far future. How long is this going to be useful to me? How long will this be appropriate to whatever I'm doing? How long will this be necessary? Very different influencers, as far as time is concerned. Okay? Men... right? I have my beer and my pretzels, I'm good. Women? Okay, but how many six-packs do we need and for how long will we need them? To keep him quiet on the couch. Okay? Next up, gender-neutral factors. Oh, let me see where I am. Okay, good, we're right on time here. Now, what I'm about to show you, my staff said don't do this, And I said, hey, I founded the company. You will pay attention to me right now. Size matters. Okay? And I already heard the intake of breath. All right? Nobody's going to buy food from the green pygmy. Nobody wants their house cleaned by a little boy clean. And nobody's going to clean up spills with tall but frail brand paper towels. Right? Size matters. Okay? Let me show you something. Just to let you know, I often use myself and my experiences as examples in my class, in my seminars, because what are you going to do? You're going to say, well, no, Joseph, that didn't happen to you. Okay. Size matters. This is okay. This is comfortable, right? This is good, except for that one woman who still wanted to know, what am I going to ask her? But this is okay, right? Now, imagine for a second if I actually stood up the way I normally do. And you know what I find so fascinating? How many people canted their head when I did this? Instead of looking at me, they went... Now, I don't consider... Well, the truth of the matter is I'm incredibly handsome. But let's be serious for a second. There's a big difference between this posture and what I'm communicating and this posture and what I'm communicating. And you notice I also change my voice, my pitch. Okay? So when I stand up like this, interesting, males, not all, but some males in the audience, pull back as well. Why?
Battle.
What?
Battle.
Bingo. And we're going to get into that. Why males... When you design a website for males, one of the things you want to communicate is either leadership or camaraderie, but never competition. So, let me ask you a question, because I'm so good at that. Size matters to men when they deal with men. Size matters with women when they deal with men. Does size matter with women when they deal with women? Very good. And how do we show that? And how do we show that? Very good. Excellent. What's that?
Can you repeat that?
Oh, I'm sorry. The question was, how do women relate to size with other women? And the response was, body posture, tone, how women interact with children is very different. Correct? Okay. So, I want to ask you another question. Has anybody ever seen an advertisement featuring a 12-foot-tall woman? Do you remember that there was a green giantess for a while, and it was a horrible flop? Yes, there was. And it was a horrible flop. Why? Because, yes? Excellent. Women seek consensus. Women seek sameness, commonality. Okay? Men seeing a 12-foot tall woman will feel threatened. Women seeing a 12-foot tall woman will say, no, that's not possible. She can't buy clothes, so why? How do women as a cultural group recognize size? How many women are over on this side of the room versus that side of the room? Women define size by unity, by gathering. Okay? How many men are comfortable walking into a room full of women? Men, raise your hands if you walk into a room full of women and say, yeah, this is a good thing. Well, I'll tell you what, I believe you. Yeah. Okay. Next slide. Loyalty matters. Does everybody know what the precursor of loyalty is? Does anybody want to guess? Go ahead. I guessed. Go ahead. What? Experience. Tell me about experience.
Well, if I've had a good experience that I want to repeat it and I want to share it with someone.
Ah. She's had a good experience. She wants to repeat it and
share it.
Share it. The precursor of loyalty is gossip. Okay? Gossip. Social networking. What makes social networking strong? Gossip factor. Gossip is one of the things that caused the human brain to begin to wire itself for language. Okay? Because gossip tells me that I can talk well with this guy about that guy. I can communicate with him about them. Okay? These people will give me the insight on those people. And I can share with these folks what those guys are doing. Gossip creates commonality. It creates union. Okay? So, women gossip to establish community. Both genders gossip, by the way. Men gossip to establish hierarchy. This plays out on the web. Female recreational browsing, site loyalty, January 2004 to October 2006. Loyalty takes time. Doesn't happen overnight. But it does happen. Okay? Men, on the other hand, recreational browsing, same time period. Decrease in loyalty. Why? Why did women's loyalty through time increase regardless of the sites, whereas men's loyalty decreased? Of? Women gathered on the same sites, whereas men diversified. Very good. Why did men diversify?
Too many women.
There were too many women on the sites. Quite possibly so. Any other guesses? It's a very good one. Yes, miss? Because they need to feel manly and? And independent, yes. Thank you. I can do this. I can do this. Exactly so. Okay? Men, remember when I said that when I stand up like this, everybody canted their heads, and some of the men, as you pointed out, right, combat. You show a lot of men on a site without a designated leader, without an alpha male, to put it in wolf, you know, Canis Majoris concept, men will immediately go into, who do I have to pick off to get in here? Now, do you think men sit down at a website and go, oh, look, who do I have to pick off to get in? No, of course they don't. This happens in the subconscious, okay? Most of the stuff that I'm showing you today, people don't sit down at a website and go, oh, look, I have to go kill those four people before I can enter this website. No, this all happens in the subconscious because we're wired this way, okay? We've had, depending on how you want to count things, with men about 3 days to evolve, with society as a whole, a little bit longer. But we're wired this way. This is the way our brains evolve to function. And that's what we apply here. Men, unless there's a designated alpha male on the site, there can be a lot of men on the site, but if there's not an alpha male being shown in an image on the site, someone for them to identify with, to feel safe around, who will not threaten them, they're not going to give you a lot of loyalty. Because the next person who comes in may challenge them. Gender lessons. If you're going to market to women, give them a group they can be loyal to. Show them how you can help them avoid past mistakes. Show them other women doing what you want them to do. Men, show them a leader. Don't show them competition. Show them a leader. Demonstrate products without preaching. You'll be a better guy if you use acne-free soap products. No. Okay, that's preaching. Okay? Make them your friend and a friend you respect, admire, and often look up to. Okay? What have I done right there? make them your friend. I'm not going to be your friend. I want to make you my friend. You're the consumer. You're the visitor to the site. I'm not going to spend a lot of time convincing you that I'm the best thing that's ever come into your life. I'm going to let you know your ego, yeah, you hang with me and your ego is going to go through the roof. Why? Because I'm not going to threaten you. I'm going to make you a friend, and I'm going to make you a friend I respect. What's your opinion on this? I trust you. You tell me why I should do this. And often look up to, okay? I'm not going to challenge you. You're the leader here, okay? Which colors attract different age groups? Just so you'll know, and just so that my CEO, when he listens to this, won't shoot me, the reason these are flat is not because nothing came in. It's that these were so incredibly high. Okay? If we were to isolate 35 to 44-year-olds, there'd be a nice curve there that you'd see. But to put everything on a scale of 1 to 100 or 0 to 100, those were non-noticeable. Okay, these are the colors that these different age groups, this is how, I realize this is not how you guys probably break out age groups, it's how we do it. But these are how these different age groups communicate those colors, okay? Now, when you look at that, for example, 15 to 19-year-olds really use a lot of red. I know that there's a laser pointer in here, but I'm just so used to going to the blackboard, it's going to work this way. They use a lot of red. And what this means is they use the cultural concepts of red in their language, okay? When you get 15 to 19-year-olds talking to each other, communicating to each other, writing to each other, they may not have the word red in every line, but they will use the sociocultural concepts of red in their communication. Does everyone know what the sociocultural concept of red is? What's anger based on?
Excitement, passion.
Bingo. Excitement. Very good. Excellent, both of you. Excitement, passion, power. Okay. Somebody who wrote for iMedia, I forgot his name, he wrote this thing about the six colors you have to use and why. Okay. If you get a chance, look it up. It's somewhere on the site. And what's libido? No, this is a mixed audience. Come on.
Freud didn't define it as aggression.
What kind of aggression?
Sexual aggression.
And here's a question which I bet, well, I won't say that. What is sexual aggression based on? Power. And the women are going, yeah. And the guys are going, no. But, and I apologize. I really didn't want to ask that question to do that. But anyway, there's a lot of information on what the colors signify. This is based on Western cultural concepts. Okay, so this works for pretty much Central to Northern Europe, Central United States, Canada. It's starting to infiltrate into Asia. You'll notice the same color differentiation in Korea, but not as much. They're going through a big cultural change right now. But anyway, that's the way they communicate. So they don't necessarily go red, 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 or green, 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 but they will use things which communicate the concepts of those colors. And that's what they use communicating. So, if you want to communicate to a 15 to 19-year-old, what is your material going to have a lot of in it? Let me rephrase that one second. If you want to communicate to a 15 to 19-year-old with the voice of a 15 to 19-year-old, what is your material going to have in it? A lot of energy or sexual aggression. Take your pick, you know? But yes, that's pretty much it. 55 to 59-year-olds, as someone said, oh, yes, I just realized I don't have enough in my retirement fund. Boy, am I pissed off. but also the green. And the green tends to be earth, warming, energy, okay? So I'm looking forward to retirement, but by God, I don't have enough money for it. Talk about a group in high conflict, really, you know? Color response by group. What do you think the color response by age group is? Let me tell you what I'm talking about. Be helpful, Joseph. Yeah, okay, don't worry, I'll get there. Color response. I may say things in a way that that age group will recognize and understand and identify with, okay? But the other part of that is, what am I willing to receive by age group, okay? It's one thing to talk in the voice, if you will, or to produce material content in the voice of a target audience. It's a totally different thing to produce material which will be well received, okay? It's kind of like your cell phones send out a signal on a very small frequency, and Ted's over there going, no, they don't, but bear with me, okay? Cell phones send out a signal. They look for a tower on a very small frequency, but they will receive a very broad frequency in case the signal comes from that tower instead of that one. And once they find the frequency they want, they'll lock onto it. Have I gone off the deep end? I should go back to my notes. Okay. Color response by age group. Wow. These people are wide open. Okay? What this is showing is the cultural concepts of these colors, whether it is power, aggression, energy, force, whether it is group, gathering, peace, calmness, whether it is anxiety, whether it is, oh, by the way, black, a lot of people say black, oh, death. No, black is vastness. It's emptiness. It's the unknown. It's what needs to be explored. Okay? So what are they paying attention to? Go to your notes, Joseph, quickly. Okay, here we go. Go with green, earth, nature, family ties, unity. Black is also good, not death, but vastness, unknowableness, depths. Red is good for most people. See that red shows up fairly strongly across all age groups? If you're designing material that covers a broad age spectrum, red is a good color to use. If you're going for very segmented groups, okay, if you want to talk to the 45 to 54-year-olds, you don't want to put a lot of power concepts in the message because they don't want to hear it, okay?
Actually, I'm going to interrupt for a second. I think that you've now given a lot of information, and these are practitioners who I want to give a chance to have to ask some questions. Oh. And let's find out if you guys have websites. And there's lots more to go on to, but if there are questions about how you can use this research in your work, how you can apply these things, let's take a break and see if we can activate some of these things practically, and then we can move back on. You had a question back there? So.
What did you define blue as?
Blue is one of the contrast colors in our culture. And that actually shows up by the fact that most of these groups have blue low except for two. Blue is, for lack of a better term, hope, desire, spirit. Okay? So one of the reasons it shows up the way it does is 25 to 34. High hope, aspiration, okay? I'm just out of school. The world is my oyster. I forgot that I don't like oysters, but what the heck, okay? 60 to 64. Yeah, I'm looking forward to retirement. Okay, I'm going to quit. I'm going to have my life. I'm going to be with the grandkids, the dog, the cat, in retirement, whatever, okay? Any other questions I can answer?
I've worked on a lot of brands where blue is sort of the core color, and they think about that in terms of truth, trust, and tradition, and sort of a sense of calm. And so I look at these colors, and I think it's interesting that, particularly with the age group, maybe 25 to 34 and up, that blue, especially 35 to 44, isn't more prevalent because you have, you know, this passion and anger in the red, let's say, but why then aren't they more drawn to blue in terms of calm in this crazy world?
It's an excellent question. If I am, as an individual, am constantly confronted by tension, anger, and aggression, what am I going to be projecting back out? The world, whether we like it or not, the world is nothing but a mirror and an echo of our own psyches. We have a slide that we often use, and we call it Bad Day at Black Rock. And one of the things that this slide shows, it's a measurement of how much anxiety people had over a very short period of time. Now, I looked at and it had this incredible spike. Oh, my God, it was a spike like this, and it went down and came back up. And on either end of a five-day period was balance. But during that five-day period, oh, my God, what caused this level of anxiety? How come it dropped to there and then went back to your everyday normal? I couldn't figure it out. I'm looking at this. Well, we happen to have a sociologist, a very brilliant sociologist on staff. She looks at it and she goes, well, that was tax preparation weekend. And at 3:00 on Friday afternoon, the anxiety level spiked. It went up until Sunday night, actually until Monday night. The tax day, the 15th, was a Tuesday. Level came down. I mean, you could actually map on this thing how many people in our study had actually sent their forms to the IRS just by looking at the anxiety curve. Okay, and then at one end in the okay, I'll be quiet.
We have another question.
Maybe you can dispel this myth or tell me if I'm right, but being in this business for many years, I was always told that blue was the safest color to use in your creative presentations because so many men were red, green, colorblind. And that's why it's a very male, trusted, safe color, and that was the way to do it. So I just maybe it's a crazy question, but I just wanted to see what you think of that.
No, it's an excellent question. I've just been kind of curious where that data came from. Is it true that most men are red, green, colorblind? Yeah. I mean, just, you know, look at that green right there. No, I'm just kidding. Blue is a good, safe color to use with men. The first night that I was here, we went around. I was at a VIP dinner hosted by Brad. We went around the table. The majority of men chose blue as their color. Okay? As I said before, this is for a very large group that we studied. Hearing that most men in that VIP dinner chose blue as their favorite color didn't really shock me, because majority of men in that room were in a very narrow demographic. Okay? Whenever a study comes out that says, we have discovered this, my first question is, what is this based on? Is there a very broad base to this? Or there's a very well-known and respected company that does research on 400 people and says, this is the way it is for the world. Wow. I'm impressed. Boy, they have math that I haven't heard of yet. You know, now, statistically, believe it or not, 452 people gives you a good image of how the United States will vote. Voting is not color. Okay? I know that I'm not directly answering your question. That's because I'm, you know, sly and clever and sneaky. I would have trouble with that finding, to be honest with you.
Two questions, actually. One is, do different colors mean different things to different age groups? So red means one thing to your teenagers, red means another. I have a second question, which is completely unrelated, based on something I read talking about, like in Eastern Europe, that in political races, they actually, parties chose specific colors because of the representation of red to communism. This is in something mm-hmm. in the Ukraine. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, you know, you showed a spectrum that says it applies to Europe and in Asia where red is for good luck, and there's just so many different cultural meanings.
Right.
Some two completely unrelated questions.
To the first question, do different age groups have different concepts of color? Yes. What this shows is overall, because regardless of your age group, if you have a Western cultural bias, this is the way it's going to be. Okay. Your second question was political parties in Eastern Europe choosing very specific colors.
Because of the historical ramifications that are significant throughout history, those
right.
cultures, especially as like democracy was coming to mm-hmm. Europe. I read a lot of articles talking about how orange was a color widely used because orange didn't have any ties with
right.
communism or
no sociocultural cue.
Or anything,
Right. Orange, by the way, is one of the between colors. These colors up here are the ones that the brain will actually recognize regardless of your cultural background, regardless of your native language, regardless of your origin. Okay, if I show you red, that I say that's red, and it is that spectrum red, the brain is actually wired. You will go, yep, that's red. You may say it in Chinese, Italian, Spanish, Lithuanian, Portuguese, Romanian, whatever, but you'll say red. If I show you orange, if I show you two oranges side by side, I'm not sure which one is orange. But if I show you red and not quite red, you go, no, that one's red. So that's why we chose these colors.
So let's give people the option of going back to the title of the presentation and where we started, which was gender discrepancies in navigation and how you can change your website in order to target different demographics, because we're in the because that's the slide that's up right now. I think we're talking about color, and I want to give people the option of talking about gender as well. So let me move over here, and we'll open the floor to all the topics.
If you have to target both men and women,
mm-hmm.
are there any common denominator elements that you would call out that can achieve that?
Can you give me an example?
Well, if you can't segment your content or your user experience to be either more female-friendly or more male-friendly,
mm-hmm.
are there any common things that would appeal to both, not necessarily equally, but have some appeal?
Forget that this is a slide. Think of it as a web page. Okay? If you want to target more to men, okay? Put your images on this side, primarily. My God, that's bright. You still there? Oh, there you are. Put your images on that side. If you want to target to women, have the image of the grouping of women down over here. Okay? Whatever the key concept is that you want to communicate to women, across the top, with explanations down over here. You want to communicate the same thing to men. Again, key concepts that are on the... It's not you folks, but I'm just getting blinded. Key concepts across the top, explanations down the center. Okay? Let me, if I might, color lessons. We just talked about this, okay? I'm going to skip to element placement because this actually talks to that, okay? Does anybody mind if I skip around? You're going to really be excited by that slide, let me tell you. Element on a page. Door of understanding, okay? You want to have your audience understand what your message is, of course, and placement. You'll notice this incredibly handsome, genial person. Do you trust him? You don't have to answer that right now. I'm sure you will on the evaluation. Okay? Do you trust him? Or do you trust him? Who do you trust? And why? I don't care which one you trust. To be honest with you, I don't care which one you trust. But I'll tell you why. Do you know what's happening here, aside from the fact that my wife said I needed more of a shave? Not only did I turn away from you, but it's the way I turned away from you. By presenting that part of my face, I'm letting you know your brain is wired to say, this guy's okay. I could be frowning, I could be crying. If I was frowning and crying, you'd want to know why I was upset and what you could do to help me. But because I'm presenting this part of the face to you, your brain is wired to go, oh, he's a puppy. Whereas that side of the face... I'm evaluating you. That's what your brain communicates upon seeing this. I'm evaluating you. I'm making a decision about you. And by golly, you better meet up or I'll fail you all. Anyway, okay? So, how about now? This guy's really okay, isn't he? That guy's a little bit better, though. He's not as bad as he used to be. Anybody want to guess what I'm doing? And this deals directly with what you were asking, miss. I am actually forcing your brain to make a decision. And the way I'm forcing your brain to do it is I'm presenting that cheek to the part of your brain which goes, yeah, okay, I'll have the evaluation done. Ready? This guy's okay. And that guy's okay too. But notice the change. This guy's okay. That guy's okay too. Up over here, okay, and the image doesn't have to be this big, of course. I just happen to love my face. Up over here, okay, I am allowing your brain, actually, technically, I'm forcing your brain by putting this placement here. I am causing your brain, if you will, to go into a mini-fugue state, to actually take a pause in its processing of the information coming in, to identify with me. Same thing over here, but the reason that is placed low is because that image of evaluation placed low on the screen says, he's not evaluating me. He's making an evaluation, but not of me. I'm okay with him, or her, or them. Okay? Are you ready to get sick? Are you ready to get... No, I'm not going to turn a page off. Are you ready to get really, really uncomfortable? And I put that out to you because when I originally showed this to people, they were like, whoa, whoa. Ready? I don't like that guy. I don't like that guy either. Do you know why? Based on what we just talked about? Because that part of the face from this part of the screen tells you, I don't like you. That part of the face from that part of the screen forces your brain or causes your brain to say, I can't trust that person. Now, recognize, please do recognize, unless you've had a lot of training in the fields that I've been in, and that's not a put down, it's just an explanation, you're probably not going to consciously look at this and say, oh, well, placement over there in that part of the face, blah, 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 blah. But what I deal with is how people subconsciously respond to information. That's where I dwell. It makes you all feel really comfortable. Let me share something with you. Do you know, this is going to go over really well, I'm sure, but I think it's a great thing. Do you know that you can tell by looking how people place their fork on a plate how to design your menu systems? Yeah, isn't that fascinating? Next time you go have lunch, and you're all going to be like, oh, God, he's not sitting at my table, is he? But I've had the opportunity to eat with people. Not eat people, but eat with people. Yes, I have studied with cannibals, but not quite like that. I make it a point to just watch how people place their forks. And it's fascinating. It's fascinating. You're all in basically the same field, right? As I understand it, you're all agencies, advertisers, marketing, stuff like that. And it's just incredible to me the congruity of the way you people process information. And I'm not going to tell you which way to place the fork. But let me offer it to you this way. If there's high congruity and you see the way everybody else around the table is placing the fork, place yours differently. And watch how people respond to you. See if they still talk to you as openly and as friendly. See if they will be willing to communicate deep thoughts to you. Anyway, we're almost there. Oh, do you want to go back to something else?
Let's just see if there are other like more practical and tactical questions about this kind of thing. We're going to break in about 5 minutes. There is a networking break at that time. If you guys want to stick around, I'm sure we can talk some more. Then the other thing to remember is that we have assigned seating for lunch. I just got a special bulletin to remind you about that. Before we go on with the slides, let's just find out if somebody has a problem they're trying to solve. If somebody, do you have a, okay.
Hi, on a previous slide, you mentioned that, I think it was designing websites for men versus women. You said for men, you should have a site that has a clear leader. Mm-hmm. Do you have an example of a site that does that?
Not off the top of my head, but I can describe a site for you that does. If, you know, let's use, and I apologize for the gender specificity of this, a site that caters to fixing cars, okay? Have the hood up, have a guy looking into the car from one side. On the other side, have two or three other guys looking into the same thing. Who's the leader? Okay? Something as simple as that. Also, at the same time, it doesn't present a threatening image because there are two or three guys accepting the information from the leader. He's obviously the alpha male. He's good. He's okay. He's sharing his information. He's not threatening anybody.
So you're talking about the imagery on the site, not the sort of the structure of the site.
Well, these all play together. You know, yes, everything. Everything is part of the communication system. When you create a site, a brochure, any kind of marketing, any kind of material, there is what we call, and it's not the same term you folks use. We use messaging a little bit differently. There's messaging that's both implied and obvious. The obvious messaging is, buy this here, do this now, right? You know, but the implied messaging is, I can be your friend. We can help you, okay? This is a good thing, things like that. And image placement, number of colors in the image, text, background colors, background images, everything. To say or to offer to you that it's one thing on a screen which makes everything happen, I would be doing both of us a disservice, and I don't want to do that.
Going back to a previous question, when the target is adults 25 to 54, so you've got this huge range and you also have a gender range, are there things that you do differently?
I'm kind of curious. Gender range. How many genders do you have?
Yes.
You want to do things differently. Now, that's an excellent question. One of the things that we're often asked to do is help people create sites for a very broad demographic. And, of course, here's my bias. You can design for a broad demographic and have low capture across a broad demographic but still have high numbers, right? Just the math works out. If you're talking to 144 million people across a broad demographic and you get 10% of each demographic, that's good. For me, better is I'm going to talk to a broad demographic. I'm going to get 50 to 60% of everybody. To me, that's better. Maybe not to you, but to me, that's better. One of the things you can do, and this actually builds on what this gentleman was asking, you can put specific elements on the page in specific ways, and I think we actually have examples of this coming up later if we have time. We may not because I'm so talkative. Let me tell you about something else that happened when I was a kid. No, just kidding. Specific elements and specific placement on the page will actually trigger and fire to different age groups and gender mixes within that age group so that you can have 15 to 34. We're constantly asked to deal with 19 to 34-year-old age group and design the page so that there is, if you will, a cascade effect from upper left to bottom right so that as the eye scans the material, okay, one age group, and after they do their scan, will lock here, and everything else on the page is ignored. They don't care. Here's their action item. Here's what you want them to do. Different age group, they've scanned over here. They stop here. They lock there. This is what you want 36 to 54-year-olds to do, whatever, okay? So you can do these things. It's actually not as difficult as most people think. You can get a broad demographic to respond with high numbers to one page. It's more exciting, trust me, but what you do is you put specific things on the page so that as the mind scans the material, each age and gender combination finds the element they're looking for as rapidly as possible, fires on it, acts upon it. Did I answer your question?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Can you talk a little bit about ad placement and ad sizes on sites and whether or not, you know, from a media planner's perspective, in terms of positioning, how that can be affected by just in terms of what you're speaking to now?
I've never been a media planner, so I'm not going to be able to address that. But I can tell you how people respond.
Fair.
Okay. Material placement. Tell you what, let's make it easy on me. What material do you want to put on a page? Tell me what it is. Well, no, but I mean, okay, it's an ad. Is it a text ad? Is it a figure? Is it a banner?
So let's look at banner ads, display ads of different sizes on different kinds of pages or sites.
Generally speaking, you don't want smaller than, I'm sorry, generally speaking, you want smaller things down here, but you want them to cascade. My hand is so powerful. Oh, okay. Can we go back to the Superman site? Okay. You'll notice as you climb down visually here, okay? Smaller, smaller, bigger, bigger, okay? So that's going to, most people will say this is of less importance. Actually, what's happening is your eye has already done the scan, so it's good to go down here. It's okay. You can have something small, not minuscule, but smaller. People will register it. They will recognize it. This page is actually designed fairly well because one of the things we found, there's a how to build super sticky web pages. One of the things we deal with a lot when people are building web pages is what's below the fold. Because what's below the fold is actually not the first impression people get of a web page. The minute they begin to interact with the page, scrolling, anything like that, it's a second impression. They've made an evaluation. This is a fairly well-designed page. Why? Bang. I don't have to go any deeper than this, do I? I can if I want, but I don't have to get anything else deeper than this. I mean, there's a lot of stuff on this page which is really working well. The Superman symbol right down there. I'll just put it out to you. If you've been raised in a Western cultural paradigm, okay? Oh, of course I have, Joseph. If you've been raised in the U.S., you know, basically, okay? And you see that there, right here, right? That's the Superman symbol. You're good. You're okay. Yeah. And look at, is this your page? Okay. Well, I don't want to
execute it by one.
Okay. That is excellent placement for a recognized positive brand image. Not really up there because that's going to cause evaluation, but down there, especially if it's a feel-good brand image, he's our hero. And you know what? My eye is going to climb right up there, and I'm not going to be threatened because even though it's a solitary male, he's not challenging me. He's not looking out at me, is he? As a matter of fact, he's flying past me, and the look on his face, and even though he has the fist out in front, the fist is not threatening to me. Why? It's not aimed at me. Very simple, okay? Those are good placements. That's interesting. But very, very, I mean, if you do a quick scan of that page, there's not a lot of options, which is great, because I know what I want you to do when I get to that page, and so do you. Yes, sir?
Well, actually, hold on. Y'all are here, are welcome to stick around as long as you want, but I want to give the people who need to do business or take a break an opportunity to go, because we're out of time. But
before you go, just a reminder that this podcast was brought to you by Dow Jones Online. With the Wall Street Journal Online, MarketWatch, Barron's Online, and more, Dow Jones Online represents an advertising partnership with access to the most coveted audience in the marketplace, influential business and opinion leaders, and affluent readers who rely on our products to help them make decisions affecting their professional and personal lives. Learn more about our award-winning sites and innovative advertising and sponsorship opportunities at DowJonesOnline.com.
Thanks for listening to the iMedia Connection podcast. Our theme music was written by Derek K. Miller. A CD of his work is available at pinmachine.com. Also, don't forget to visit imediaconnection.com for the latest in interactive marketing news, features, and of course, podcasts.